with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The U.S. and Canada have reached a deal on NAFTA.
The agreement will govern nearly $1.2 trillion in trade, which makes it the biggest trade deal in the United States history.
We'll have the details with the Wall Street Journal's Jacob Schlesinger. First, here are some top stories. Uncertainty over the scope of an FBI investigation into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh lingered on Monday, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell planning for a vote by the end of the week. The FBI investigation was brokered as a last-minute deal on Friday, but is facing criticism from some Democrats. Kavanaugh has repeatedly denied accusations of sexual assault. For full coverage and the latest updates on this story, head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. Indonesian officials are warning that the death toll could rise into the thousands following a 7.5 magnitude earthquake that triggered a powerful tsunami on Friday. Rescue workers were rushing to pull any survivors from the rubble on Monday. Several countries, including the U.S., have pledged aid in the wake of the disaster. Indonesia sits on the Ring of Fire, a series of fault lines and volcanoes. In 2004, a major tsunami killed an estimated 228,000 people around the Indian Ocean, most of them in Indonesia. General Electric has ousted CEO John Flannery amid trouble in its power unit that the conglomerate says could cause it to miss its yearly profit and cash targets for the year. Flannery, who is on the job about a year, will be replaced by board member Larry Culp. The Wall Street Journal reports that he is expected to move forward with the spin-offs of GE's healthcare business and two other units to focus on its power and aviation units. MBA applications at elite schools, including Harvard and Stanford universities, continue to decline. It's the fourth straight year of declines as U.S. business schools face more competition from overseas schools and struggle to lure applicants from a strong job market. The latest data from the Graduate Management Admission Council shows a 7% decline from last year in the application year that ended this spring. Still to come, more details on the last-minute NAFTA deal. The U.S. and Canada reached a last-minute deal on Sunday, allowing Canada to join the U.S. and Mexico in a rewrite of the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Trump spoke about the deal on Monday.
So we have negotiated this new agreement based on the principle of fairness and reciprocity. To me, it's the most important word in trade because we've been treated so unfairly by so many nations all over the world that we're changing that.
And joining us now from Washington with the details is Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Schlesinger. So, Jacob, let's get up to speed here. The U.S. and Mexico reached a deal without Canada in August, and even last week, U.S. officials indicated that the U.S. and Canada were still pretty far apart. So how much of a surprise was this deal?
You know, it was a big surprise. They were far apart, and as of Thursday, they weren't even really talking, at least not in a significant way. And then sort of at the last minute, there was a big push. Mexico got involved to help bridge the differences. There's a lot of stuff going on the sidelines of the United Nations. And it was a very, very intensive last 3 or 4 days to bring Canada on board before the midnight Sunday deadline. And they barely beat that.
So what types of compromises were made? President Trump just spoke about the deal on Monday. What did he have to say about how this changes the previous NAFTA deal?
So a couple of things. I mean, probably the most significant way it changes the previous NAFTA deal involves the auto industry and a number of rules that regulate it much more strictly, try to require more production in the United States, try and in North America, set actual labor wage rates, which is highly unusual, in a way that essentially would force a redirection of production from Mexico to the United States and Canada. Canada actually had signed off on that. I mean, that was really a tough conversation with Mexico. The issues in the end between the United States and Canada had to do with some specific areas like access to Canada's dairy market and some of the provisions that would allow Canada to use NAFTA to challenge what they consider to be unfair American trade practices.
So Congress still needs to approve this deal. What's the timeline going forward?
So they cannot sign the deal until the end of November. That was one of the things that was pushing the midnight Sunday deadline, which is that U.S. trade law says that you cannot sign, a president cannot sign a trade deal unless the text is public 60 days in advance. And the reason they want to sign it at the end of November is that the current Mexican president, Peña Nieto, his last day in office is November 30th, and so they wanted it to be signed by him. Partly he wanted to claim it as his accomplishment, partly because he will be succeeded by a new president who is much more left-leaning, and there were some concerns that he might reopen the pact. And so the next big step, of course, will be the signing of the deal in late November. After that, it has to go to Congress. Trump officials have said that they don't expect to put it to Congress and to see any vote until sometime next year. Exactly when is unclear, but you know that would mean that the new Congress, the one that's elected in November, will be the one voting on it. And current polls suggest that that could be a Congress that is more heavily Democratic and more hostile to President Trump.
President Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau did do some public sparring before this deal was struck. Does this improve the odds in any way of the U.S. perhaps striking some other trade deals? Obviously, we have some ongoing trade disputes, notably with China.
So one of the points that the Trump people have tried to make is that, you know, he's not just about ripping up trade deals. He's also, you know, for signing them. And the last week, you actually have seen a lot of activity. A week ago on Monday in the United Nations, he signed a new version of the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement. On Wednesday, he announced an agreement with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to start new trade negotiations with Japan. So there clearly is an attempt to try and do a whole range of new trade deals. China is the exception. You mentioned China. I think that they feel that China is an outlier. He said, in fact, the president did in his statement earlier on Monday, talking about the new NAFTA, you know, that he's not ready to talk to China yet. And I think part of what you're seeing here is an attempt to build a global coalition to take on China.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Schlesinger joining us from Washington with the latest on the NAFTA deal. Thanks so much, Jacob.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.